Hi, I'm Leola. I'm a sacred intimacy mentor and muse and the host of this podcast. Talk Tantra to Me introduces a playful perspective on sacred sexuality. My intention in this podcast is to integrate intimacy and spirituality, empowering you to reclaim your eroticism. It is my mission to inspire you to let go of shame, fear, and limiting beliefs to be present as your highest self in every moment. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, let's talk Tantra. Hello, lovers. I am so blessed and honored to be in a position to share, you know, tools and tips and tricks that have the potential to heal and to bring you to a place of full sexual embodiment. And one of the tools that I absolutely love and have been using for the better part of a decade are crystal yoni products, including pleasure wands and yoni eggs. And I was so excited to recently come across a brand called Wands, W-A-A-N-D-S. I met the founder here in Austin and I absolutely loved who she was. I love getting to know the people behind the products that I like to use. And I just loved her mission to really support women and men to explore, celebrate, and honor their sexuality. I felt this transmission of slow sensual seduction in all of who she was and all that she brought to the world. So I went ahead and gave it a try. I purchased a blue quartz amarita wand, and the amarita wand is great because it has this like cool bulby end on it, which is designed for G-spot and cervical stimulation, but can also be used for prostate stimulation. So it's great for men and women and can even be used between partners. So I'm so honored to have built this relationship with her and to be able to offer you guys an amazing discount code. So if you use the code Leola, L-E-O-L-A, that will give you 15% off all products. And the website is wands.com, W-A-A-N-D-S.com. And we'll go ahead and link that in the show notes as well for you. So thank you so much for listening. And also you're welcome for the inevitable pleasure and healing and ecstasy that is coming your way with these products. Let's dive into the episode. Welcome to Talk Tantra to Me. It is such an honor to be holding space for this divine knowledge to make its way into your ears and lifestyle. Today, I talk Tantra with Dr. Liz Letchford. She is the founder of a body church. She's a body whisperer, embodiment researcher, and a poet. I am so grateful for her content and her magic, and so appreciative that she's here on the podcast to offer her perspective of living an expansive life. So thank you for being here, Liz. Why don't you start by telling us a bit about your journey with becoming a body whisperer? I love that word. I'd also love to know more of what that means to you, but how did you discover this passion and purpose?
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here. I'm really excited for this conversation. Body whisperer. Well, it started as like body obsession in all of the ways. Ever since a young age, I was interested in dance and gymnastics, but I was horrible at it. I really couldn't find connection to my body, and I wanted so desperately to play sports, but I like my legs wouldn't move very well. I felt very like a lack of coordination. And so instead, I started studying the body. So I took care of the athletes and I went down a sports medicine career and I got my PhD in kinesiology and rehabilitation science. And kinesiology is the study of human movement. And so I really went down this long, like 20-year path of really studying the body. And then as my left brain was super full, it was time, once I graduated with my PhD and started working as a clinician, I started being curious about the right brain, the creative side of the artistry of the body. And so I had really reached, I mean, I'm a lifelong learner, but my own max capacity after writing a dissertation, I was just like, it's time. We got to bring some more fun to this. And I started really navigating my own intuitive sense about the body and others' intuitive sense about the body. And I read a few like articles and a little bit, made my way a little bit into Tantra, but ultimately really just was curious myself. Didn't want to be indoctrinated by anything and just really watched what the body would do, the nervous system, the energy body, the musculoskeletal system, the emotions, watch what they would do when we did anything to it. So I'm a scientist through and through. And so it really opened me up to be able to let my right brain meet my left brain. And these incredible intuitive gifts, I call them, came online. And my ability to sense disturbances in the nervous system, disturbances in the energy system, and be able to know what's necessary, archetypally speaking, in order to get this person back to harmony in their body is so different than what I learned in school and studied in school. And so now I'm on this path where I'm like, listen, I'm not a traditional clinician. I am not necessarily following the scope of an athletic trainer by any means. Like, I'm so grateful for that foundation, but now I'm really pioneering and venturing into unknown territory when it comes to the nervous system, the fascial system, the emotional system. And so in that way, I call myself a body whisperer because I can truly speak the language of the body. And it comes through in poetry, and it comes through in as a modality that can help people move energy and get out of pain. And it's been a wild journey, and I did not expect this when I was Mrs. Scientist, you know?
Yeah, I'm feeling some like Hermione Granger energy in this, that it's like super logical going into it, researching, and then like finding like, wow, there's all of this other ability and courage and intuition in the work as well. It's incredible. And what I think is even more incredible is what I see you're doing with it, which is recognizing like, okay, I'm this body whisperer, and everyone has the ability to be their own body whisperer, to tune into their own nervous system and the little shifts that we feel moment to moment, getting intimate with that. And where has this taken you today? Like, I would love for you to share a little bit more about how this is being brought to the world.
Sure. So because of this awareness of, hey, I've been teaching so many fitness classes where I'm telling people how to move their bodies, even if it's perfect form, even if it is giving them opportunities to be intuitive a little bit, I'm telling them how to move. Mm-hmm. And I just realized I don't want to be told how to move. I want to be able to move my body with its own natural wisdom. And so I didn't know about any classes in the fitness adjacent world that offered that. So simultaneously, as I came into my intuitive gifts, I was like, what am I? A shaman, a priestess, a witch? Like, what is going on? And I couldn't find any lineages that I really resonated with. You know, I'm of Irish and Italian descent. And yet the things that were coming through me, the things that I resonated with, were very like of the land of the Americas and very diverse. And so I felt like, where do I belong? I was going to these ceremonies and talks and looking into Irish shamanism. And I was just like, oh, none of this is for me. But when I turned on some music and I started shaking my butt and I started singing, I was like, ah, this is a ceremony for me. And I got to let all my wild parts out, and I wasn't getting shushed in a ceremony. And I was like, where can I do this where it's sacred, where it's safe, where it's protected, where it's, you know, where there's people who are in agreement. I'm not the only wild woman out here just getting the medicine of the concert, you know? Where can I? And I didn't know of anywhere. So I just created something, and it's called Body Church. And so, I created.
Great name. Sorry, go on.
You can kind of understand what it is just by the name. It's a place where, you know, we can remember that our bodies are the sanctuary. And so I lead a class that's guided by spoken word poetry. So the whole class, I'm just in rhymes, and I'm, you know, there's music in the background, and I'm telling stories that are all spontaneously inspired rhymes. and poems and a breath practice that I created to help you find your internal safety in your nervous system so that your body can unwind. So it was this natural process that my body went through. I just watched it happen. I said, oh, more people need this. You know, I'm a mad scientist, and so I'm curious about everything. So I watched, and I knew enough about the physiology to be like, oh, I understand what's happening here, and no one's doing this. I gotta tell the world, let's go. And this can be fun. So it is this movement practice that allows you to be the teacher of yourself. And it's different every time. I just say, here's the breath nervous system practice. I start with a practice I created called Spirokinetics. It means breath movement. And I tune your nervous system to whatever is like the edge for you. Now that could be laying on the floor for 45 minutes, or it could be dancing around, unwinding in the fascial spiral lines for 45 minutes, or it could be a journey between those two extremes. And so I really just allowed Body Church to bloom itself and listen to what the bodies wanted. And so now it's a global movement. We have people in like so many different countries tuning in. And it's been a really brilliant, brilliant experience.
So many things I want to double click on, but this is definitely giving me a new way to look at an experience I had about a year and a half ago. I went through this period where I just like didn't want to move my body. Like nothing was right. It was hot out. It was like summer in Austin. I wasn't going on my normal like walks or daily hikes. And I went to this class called Big Pussy Energy here in Austin. And I hadn't been in a while. I went last night. So this is very timely, but it was like, oh my God, I want to move my body again. It also has, I think it's different, but it also had this intuitive quality of tapping into the body and welcoming in the wildness and the sensuality. And it's like, suddenly, like I was like, okay, I feel like she's back. Like I'm back. It feels good. It felt right. So I love that. And you mentioned that you speak during it, poetry. Like, are you like coming up with it in the moment, or do you have like things that you've already created that you bring in, or how does that work?
I mean, it just comes to me spontaneously, and it's so fun to like, I'm listening to it as it's coming out of my mouth, you know, it's so quick. And so it usually has to do, I'm guiding people through an archetypal story. So, you know, any hero's journey is going to have a cast and characters. And so Body Church gives you a stage on which all of your wild, crazy, I call them gremlin characters, you know, like your inner mother, your inner father, your inner man, your inner woman, your inner little girl, your inner little boy. We all have these archetypes, you know, king, queen, animal, whatever, the fool, like all of these different archetypes. And so in any one Body Church experience, I'm going to take you on a journey through a number of archetypes. And oftentimes, when we're out of alignment with a certain archetype, when it's required of us, if it's like, hey, I need to show up in my king, right? In my commander, in my I'm responsible, in my groundedness, you know, it's gender neutral, really. It's something we associate with a masculine energy, but king, I've got a king in me, you know, he's super sexy too. I love my king. But if someone's out of tune with their king, their inner king, no matter what body they live in, when that is required of you, say you're trying to build a business, say you're trying to get your things done for the day, and you are having trouble with this archetype of king, of creating structure, of creating groundedness, someone else is going to take over. Oftentimes what I see is the little boy, the little, like the young, playful, like pew, pew kind of energy actually steps in and is like, I'll prove to them that I can do everything, you know? And it's this very, almost like an inappropriate energy to be stepping in for the king, because for whatever reason, I know from personal experience in my body's memory, through this practice, actually through Body Church and the Spirokinetics practice, I was out of alignment with my inner king because when I was young, pre-verbal, before my mind could capture this memory, my body had a situation where I was molested by a man, and he felt like the king, the grown-up man energy. And so my body had this story of king is dangerous. And so all of my hormones showed the same profile. My testosterone was low. My body was literally rejecting the archetype of king until...
That gave me chills. Sorry.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And I had no memory of it at all. But once I unwound it, once my nervous system was ready to reveal to me, hey, love, this is what happened. The body memory came back and I danced out this scenario where I was like, whoa. And I completed the trauma. I re-imprinted my own harmonious king, and my hormones got better. My hormonal profile got better. And now I feel grounded and stable. For me, it was instead of the little boy being like, I can do it. It was like queen and like stronger queen. So I had like my feminine working overtime. And so that's the magic of the practice. And so body church, you know, we don't go into that trauma re-triggering because you're unwinding at the pace of the nervous system. So it allows you to complete the cycle. So long way of saying, yeah, I'm like dancing you and poem. So, you know, it's an entertaining movement experience. So it brings the artistry and the science into one place. And it's so magic.
So fascinating. I had a similar experience with my inner masculine energy a few years ago. I felt it wanting to come online or step forth. So I did this meditation calling in my inner masculine. And at the time it felt like my inner feminine was like queen, timeless goddess, so embodied. And then like the masculine that came forth was like a typical like 24-year-old dude trying to like figure out life and climb the corporate ladder. And I was like, ooh, not a vibe. And then took some time to connect to like, okay, who is my divine masculine, like who the higher masculine, and felt a presence that was more like carpenter, building, creating community, home, like space. And I feel much more in alignment with that now. But that's so interesting. So when you are like, do these archetypes, are you weaving them into the practice, or are they coming forth from the participants in their share? How does it look?
Yeah. So I go into a body church experience with some inspiration from where I've been throughout the week. So I travel all over the world. I was just in Maui. I was at the volcanoes and I got to listen to the volcanoes, and I came and I brought forth this volcano practice to body church. So sometimes they're inspired by my environment, but it's really just a matter of what is the creative field of everyone who's in the experience. And so what's the theme? So I did a class for all men while I was in Maui, actually, and it was very different than my normal classes, all ages, all genders, all over the world. So there was very poignant messaging because for whatever reason, my system can sense the energies of obviously other bodies, but I can also sense the energies of what's going on in the room and what messages are here and need to be provoked in order to be completed. And so the things I was saying, first of all, I put on like this, I switched between mother and siren, which was really interesting. And so I took on this like very loving, beautiful, divine, like mother earth, remothering provocation for the men. And then I would switch right into like this siren, which was like, I'm going to sing and I'm going to like call you in so that I can destroy anything that's in the way of your highest, most divine presence. And that was all done weaving in through poetry, allowing the music and guiding their body. So I'll say things like, imagine you're bringing in that woman that hurt you, And so after class, of course, I learned that it was like someone was their sister, someone it was their mother, someone it was an ex-girlfriend, someone it was a current girlfriend, someone it was their inner woman. And so I'm saying these blanket archetypes of like, who's the feminine that hurt you? You know, like they know immediately, our minds, our bodies know. And so I invite people to maybe create an imaginary construct, like bring them in, see their eyes and react. So I'm trying to get their bodies to react and then be able to unwind the fascia from there. So we have these emotional reactions that are causing us to stay stuck in these archetypes and we can't move. So if like mommy hurt me, then I don't want to find my inner mommy because I might hurt me. Mm. And so we try to complete that. We try to see it, say the words like I'm afraid to be great. I'm afraid to be soft. You know, whatever words need to be spoken to free your body of these stories, and then repatterning with a message that's actually in harmony with your body, that your body's just trying to get to at all times.
Yeah. It sounds really powerful in that it's meeting people where they're at, but I love this tone of feeling into the collective energy. I find that a lot in my work, that it's like, I'll do one practice with one client and then it will suddenly apply to like everyone else I'm working with in the week. It's like the energy is collective, and that's so, so beautiful. So you mentioned people tune in. How do you present this work?
Yeah. So I currently am offering a class on Zoom on Saturday mornings, and it's so fun. It's like church. We all show up, people from all over the world. So that's my digital class. And then starting end of January 2024, I'll be opening an in-person studio in Los Angeles. Ah, so I'm very excited about that. And we'll be broadcasting from there as well. And then I'm going on tour. So the best way to experience body church is absolutely in person. And then, and then supplementing that with the online experience, because you're private, you're in your house. This is your daily practice. So it's something you can do every day, all day, if you want to. This breath practice can be as discreet as it needs to be, but it helps you reset your nervous system. So it's a place to come to be able to let all your characters, all your archetypes go wild.
Fuck yeah. That's amazing. So opening in LA in January?
Yes.
What part of LA?
We're in Echo Park.
Sweet. Great area. Oh, I go to LA. I was just there at the beginning of the month. I go almost every quarter, although I probably won't be back until the new year. So good to know. I'm definitely going to want to come to one in person.
Oh, please and come. Yes.
And I'm already like, okay, what am I doing Saturday? How can I fit this in? Okay, rad. So, and then you're going on tour. Do you have any like tour highlights that you're aware of, like places that you're going for sure?
Not yet. So that's all TBD, but I'll be announcing that on the Body Church Instagram and website.
Yay. I hope Austin's on the list.
Oh, absolutely.
It's gotta be, right?
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
Good. Well, I'll definitely let me know when you're coming. I'll rally all my gals and guys and drag my husband along, and it'll be great.
Yeah, let's go to church.
That's right. They say you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And this is something that I really, really resonate with. And as I've invested in living a tantric lifestyle, my relationships have evolved and become so much more juicy and liberating. And I believe that this is something that everyone deserves. However, finding these people can be a little bit challenging at first. And so it is my mission to create more spaces for people to find individuals that are resonant with the tantric lifestyle, that are really resonant with you, the listener, the person who is investing their time into living a life that is expansive and liberating. So with that, I am committed to creating more and more safe spaces for people to discover their desires and practice their boundaries, to connect in community, to celebrate and to grow together, so that we can all step into a more authentic version of ourselves and experience truly unconditional love. So we have Tantra retreats for men, women, couples, singles. We also have female-only retreats just for the ladies stepping into their divine feminine. We have play parties. We have tantra workshops, tantra yoga, women's circles. We've got all kinds of really powerful in-person events. You can find all the details at www.talktantratome.com/events. You can also just go to talktantratome.com and click the events tab to find out about all the latest and the greatest. And if you're wanting me all to yourself, I can't blame you. I also host private retreats for both individuals and couples. Those are one-on-one. You get me all to yourself. And I'm available for private tantra workshops and performances. And this is great for events like your birthday or maybe a bachelorette party or bachelor weekend. We can talk and create something that will be extra special just for you. So I cannot wait to connect with you in real life. But for now, thanks so much for your patience with this brief interruption, and let's get back to the episode. Do you have any religious affiliation, or like, how did it feel to use the word church specifically out of curiosity?
Yeah. Wow. What a great question. It was a journey to have to be like, this is the right name and I feel wrong about it. I grew up in the church. I grew up in the Catholic church. And then when I was in high school, I chose to go to a Pentecostal, like Holy Ghost speaking in tongues kind of church. Wow. And I loved it. And I played keyboard and I was on what we called the worship team. So I'm on stage, like singing my songs, and I loved it. But what I noticed was how much shame I felt, how much I was trying to be on my best behavior and be a good girl instead of being real. And so I felt like my system getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I, of course, externalized it and blamed everyone else. I was like, none of you guys are good girls and boys and people. And I don't belong anywhere because I'm following all the rules, right? I would see people be like hypocrites, or I would see people like talk shit about people. And I was just like, I can't be here. I really value integrity. So if we're being devotional to something, I want it to be an integrity. And a lot of these people are amazing and good friends, but there's this missing piece of like the way you show up in ceremony in church and the way you show up outside of church are really, really different. And I can't be a part of this. So I didn't really have any sort of affiliation, still don't. I had no affiliation. And then I started being curious about the universe and our existence and souls and spirituality, and didn't really like become a seeker at all. I just looked inward, looked at the body, what's true in the body. And so what I realized was there are so many parallels to the way our emotions and our the density in our human bodies, the journey of all of that, like say, like the journey from, ouch, I have a trauma, I have an owie, to now it's ruling my life, to, oh God, I remember that owie, to I've completed it. And now I'm an elevated person who no longer is reactive to that stimulus, is very much like the resurrection and the death of Jesus, of Yeshua. And so there's so many parallels of like, what is the cross that you're going to die on? Now, I don't necessarily talk about all of this in body church. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll make the parallels of like, yeah, this can be the same thing. This can be a new way to look at all these things that I know most people who come have been in some way hurt by the Christian church, the Catholic church, and are looking for a place to be able to be in full expression of their bodies without shame. And so there's an innocence to our sexuality. It's our internal healing modality. Pleasure is our birthright. And the fact that church completely took away from that really doesn't sit well with me, nor does it feel true. And so I'm delicately and also not so delicately excavating these parallels in order to be like, do you see this, like that Christ, Jesus, that Christ consciousness, that is something that lives inside of all of us, that lives inside of you. And so we keep externalizing things. So a big premise of my practice is we agree that we're all each other's mirrors. Mm-hmm. And so that takes away from the like, oh, Sally is just a bitch, you know, or like, oh, I can't believe Fred showed up today and is, I don't know, his overalls. I don't know. I love overalls for the record. You know, like whatever, like silly judgments we have are like, wow, like Janessa's really triggering me. It's instead, oh, Janessa, wow, I'm really feeling this contraction. And I'm noticing you remind me of a part of me that I haven't integrated yet. And Janessa's like, yeah, babe, I'm here. I'm here to be your mirror. Why don't you react to me? So we get really used to having people react to us and having it be medicine. And then we understand there's no judgment. It takes away judgment because it's like, oh, wow, this person has medicine for me. What do they remind me of? How can I integrate my inner darkness, my inner Janessa, my inner Tommy, you know? And so this is all adding to the characters that we bring to the stage that is Body Church.
What a gorgeous reclamation. And I love that you brought judgment in at the end, because it's like, for me with church, it was hearing this narrative of we don't judge, but then seeing everyone in church judge and being just super confused and feeling, you know, the hypocrisy. And you also wove pleasure into there, and having like this awareness later in life that the church has kind of made us afraid of the intuitive things that you speak of and the oracle and that piece, and then also makes us afraid of pleasure. And why is that? And to me, it's really because that's where the power is. And it's hard to control people that are in their power and are trusting themselves, right? So I love, love, love that you brought that in as well, and would love to dive a little bit deeper on this mirror thing that you're bringing up and how that relates to like the shadow and shadow work.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, when I first started really diving into like energetics and, you know, people can call it channeling energies. I think of it as like tuning into a part of me and then really putting that character on. It's like what actors do really well, right? They're like channeling different characters. And so when I first started exploring that as an artist, to understand how do these characters tune our bodies? How is wrong relationship with these characters hurting our bodies and our physiology? I, of course, met some shadowy characters, and I would embody these like crazy, you know, demon kind of energies. And I, because of my puritanical upbringing, darling, I was terrified. I was like, whoa, that's not me. Oh my gosh, something has infiltrated me. I've took on a dark spirit, or whatever stories I was really making make sense in my limited cognition. And so I was so sick of that happening so often. And I would like, you know, in my research, because I didn't grow up with any spiritual practices other than the rule book that is Christianity, and, you know, some like clapping in church. I didn't have any like, what happens when you are able to sense things? And so I was like Google searching and asking my friends like, so this is happening. Like, I don't want to scare you, but like, I'm sensing some like crazy kind of gremlin kind of energies here. And it didn't matter what anybody told me. I was still terrified of it. Even people were like, oh, it's just a shadow. Oh, it's just a part of you. Or people were like, cast it out right now. Here's a prayer. You know, let's exercise this. Like I received the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
I didn't know who to believe. And I definitely didn't want to be afraid of my own self. And so what I had to do is take a pause. And one day I was really exhausted, and I was just like, you know what? Come on in. And I said, what's up, corruption? You know, like, hello, energy of murder. Like, hello, jealousy. What's your name? You know, and I just said, come on in. Have a seat. What do you want? And jealousy would, you know, or corruption would be like, I want to corrupt you. And I'd be like, you know, I'm not going to allow that. So can we work together maybe? Like, can you, what do you really want? You like to corrupt things. So can we work together? I would love to corrupt some systems that are already corrupted. And so like, can we work together? And so it's really embodying the shadow, saying all the things that, gosh, we don't want to say, you know? Like the other day, I got really mad. I got really upset. I had someone just do me dirty. And you know, I don't try to be all love and light, but I really was fighting this one. I was really fighting, saying out loud these things that I wanted to do, these things that I was thinking. And I was like, you know what? If I don't say it out loud, it's going to writhe and wriggle around in my body. And so I just said, all right, here it goes. And I like started doing my little body church practice and moving around and unwinding. And I was just like, you know what? You know, like, fuck you then. You know, like, you are so selfish. You are this and this. And I let it out. And no one heard me. I was by myself. No one heard me, but I discharged it and I started laughing. I was like, oh, gosh. And so the shadow is only strong because we choke it. And that's why if I'm speaking words like, I really want to corrupt you, and I choke my voice, it's going to sound like, I really want to corrupt you. You know, it's going to sound like these archetypal, stereotypical, demonic voices. It's not because the demon actually sounds like that. It's because we're blocking it from actually speaking. It's pretty logical. I mean, angels and demons work together in my, you know, my little storybook that I'm writing about in my brain about how all of this works. Like, I know nothing, but here's how my world works. Angels and demons work together. Sometimes when love sits right in front of you, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but it's like you could have the most divine, loving energy saying, please receive this. This is medicine. And everything in your body's like, I don't trust it. Right? Then the angel, you know. The angel comes in and is like, all right, we've been trying to love you for so long. And I love you so much. And this is going to hurt. I got to bring in backup. You're not responding to love. So maybe we can move the energy with pain. And it's like, and it calls in the demons and the demons like, boo. And you're like, right. And so, so we move the energy that way. And the angel's like standing behind them, like, good job. And so that's the way that I relate to these dark energies is they love you. They're rooting for you. They want you. They're trying to just scare you straight. You know, remember that show? Do you remember that show? Scared Straight. There was a show where they truly just basically just did what the demons do. They like, at this TV show, followed people around who were like not in a good way and set up this fake situation for them to lose their minds, to be so scared that they actually would see like, and they would wake up and they'd be like, I don't want to do drugs anymore. Or like, I don't want to like sell guns anymore. I don't know what people would do. But Scared Straight is what these, you know, I don't know if people are triggered by the word demons. I'm like, I used to be, but I'm not anymore. But like these darker energies, these shadow aspects of ourselves are trying to do.
I love the visual that you give for all of this. And it's so true. We make all of these dense emotions out to be bad, like jealousy, but jealousy has a place. Like it's there for a reason. There, jealousy to me, when you're in a right relationship with jealousy, as you would use that word, right relationship, it's there to protect something sacred in a way, something that's sacred to you. You know, for example, being jealous in a marriage, if your partner is, you know, connecting with other people, that doesn't mean that necessarily it's the correct or healthy expression of jealousy, but it's there to protect, you know, and so giving yourself the space to explore it and feel into like, is this true for me? And how can I release it and release it so I can come back into the present? I love that. It's beautiful.
Oh, I love that too. I use this same example of jealousy, and I'd love to share my view. This is what's beautiful about the artistry of being human is like, I'm like, oh, that's how you see jealousy. Like, oh, I love that. The way that I see jealousy is, say we're jealous of somebody's, the way they're showing up in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And our minds think, oh, there's a binary. I can either be happy for them or I'm jealous of them. Like, oh mm-hmm. gosh. And so you really try to be so happy for you, babe, right? But when you're not, you're like fucking jealous. And so what that really shows you is you want that. And so something in your soul or your mm-hmm. body, you're being driven to respect that for a reason. So go into like, how can you make that happen for yourself? And so that's the empowerment of jealousy is, oh, that's what I want. Cool. I'm going to like, thank you for being my mirror. I'm going to go make this happen for myself and untangle all the things that are in the way in my body, mind, soul, energy, emotions that might be preventing me from having that life that I'm, you know, desiring or jealous of.
Yeah, I love that. And totally agree with everything you said. We're starting to like, we've got, you know, a little bit of time left, and there's one thing that I really want to chat about before we go. And that is, how can this work, this understanding, this body church, help people specifically with like intimacy, relationship, sexuality? That's a big theme on the podcast. So I'm curious if you could speak into that a bit.
Oh yeah. So it starts with you. And when you can be fully accepting of all of your parts, all of your characters, not just like, oh, this is the like sexy version of me who shows up to put on a performance. It's like, also there's the grief version of me. Okay, here's the anger version of me. And here's the wild animal. Here's the kid version of me. You know, here's the grandma, the wise sage. When you're in right relationship with all of your archetypes and you're shameless, mm-hmm. you're going to attract people who are going to amplify that, people who might provoke you to grow, and you're going to be in right relationship to grow. So you're going to be like, yeah, let's go. This is juicy. And so it's not even a direct practice to cultivate intimacy or sexuality or sensuality, but it totally is. Like, I don't actually mm-hmm. say that out loud in the practice, at least not in my retreats I do. But when I'm casting a wider net, it's more about just feeling your body, and it's deeply intimate with yourself. So when you can be intimate with yourself, oh my gosh, it's so liberating. And then you're not afraid. You can look at someone and be like, this is who I am. And I'm no longer afraid of this person. And so if you are, then I love you. Like, if you're in agreement, if you're in devotion to healing, like I am, like, let's dance this out. Let's unwind this out together. And oh, that is sexy. That is hot. Because when we put Eros right where our fear is and our wounds are, and we honor the nervous system at the same time, it becomes this really juicy opening for healing. And that's the alchemy that two people bring with each other. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I feel similarly that the work starts with self, and then it vibrates out into the closest relationships, and then it vibrates out into the world, and seeing how you bring your specific intuitive medicine in and inspire others is just incredible. And you had mentioned retreats. I think that you have a retreat coming up this weekend, although by the time that this is released, it won't be this weekend anymore, but that's dope. I'm actually going to be on a retreat or facilitating a retreat the same weekend, which is super fun.
Wow.
But curious to hear if you have any others coming up or what that looks like.
Yeah, we're actually planning one right outside of Austin. So I'd love to stop by, you know, grab some juice and move our bodies together. I'd love for you to come. But there's no date set yet, but oh my gosh, we're about to go on a tour. So you're catching me right at the launch of like the whole year planned ahead. So Yes, keep bodychurch.com is where you can find out any information that you
need. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask next. And yeah, probably by the time that this comes out, all of that stuff will be available and super, super duper exciting. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share or speak into before we land? We do have a little bit of time if you'd like.
Yeah. You know, I never studied Tantra. And I have one question, just out of curiosity. What is the understanding of the nervous system as it relates to the energy practices that are so beautiful and potent in Tantra? Like, what are the lessons in about the like actual wires of the nerves of the body?
Yeah. So I'll say I'm not a nervous system expert. However, it's definitely a big part of the work. And a lot of the same tools that you're using I would say that your practice is tantric from my perspective. Wow. And that's why I think that you're a great, you know, fit for the podcast as well. But really, Tantra is sound, breath, and movement. Those are the three basic tools in Tantra to drop into the present moment, which to me is really nervous system regulation. It's another way to say that. And also to move energy that is in dis-ease in our body, to release things, to, again, just drop into the present. So, but to me, Tantra really is this recognition that there's a spiritual world, there's a physical world, and there's an energy that connects them that's procreative. Mm-hmm. And how can you bring that energy of procreation or turn on into every moment of life, so it feels like this sacred human experience bringing, you know, you mentioned in church, like it's like people are in the ceremony, but in life, they're not in ritual. They're not in alignment with that. And how can we move it all together and also find sacredness in the fuck you and in the jealousy and all of it? So.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. And you mentioned the ceremony of life. I think that's why anytime we're about to be in a renaissance, why we look to the artists is because that's what they are. They're saying, hey, I'm bridging the sacred and the mundane, and I'm bringing the sacred to the mundane. I'm finding the sacred in the mundane. This is my artistry. I am the instrument. And so, yeah, that's why I just, my question for everyone is, what is your artistry and how are you bringing what you feel and the sacred in through your body and your words and your existence and your ecstatic expressions and really feeling your way through every moment like it's a ceremony?
I love that. I go by sacred intimacy, mentor, and muse, because it's also that, like, how am I inspiring others to step into their creativity? How am I being my own muse? Yeah. So I love that. Gorgeous.
Oh, I love that so much.
Yes. Well, thank you again so much, Liz, for coming on and sharing all of this magic. Also want to express my gratitude to the listener. Thank you once more for opening yourself up to the idea of body church and different energies and archetypes and demons. Thank you for opening yourself up to the medicine of demons. Oh my gosh. With so much gratitude and love, have a sexy and spiritual day, and I'll catch you next week on Talk Tantra to Me. Ta-ta.